Tonight, we're starting an occasional series we're going to call Ships. For this, I've asked some of our contributors and guests to tell us about a ship which interests them. And to get us started, Lorna Siggins has the story of Ernest Shackleton's last ship, The Quest.
Were he around, and who knows, Sir Ernest Shackleton would surely have a chuckle or two over the recent international expedition to locate his lost ship Endurance in Antarctica. As Seascapes listeners know well, the Endurance was crushed in pack ice and sank in the Weddell Sea in 1915 during Shackleton's attempt to cross the Antarctic continent. The Boss, as the County Kildare explorer was best known, had described it as the worst portion of the worst sea in the world. Not only did that Weddell Sea outwit this recent international search effort by the Scott Polar Research Institute, but it also claimed its remotely operated vehicle. The ROV had just completed what was to have been the longest and deepest targeted under-ice survey when it was swallowed up in the icy waters. "I'll leave her be," Shackleton might say, with a few added expletives and through the smoke of a cigar or three. And he might have another chuckle over the costly restoration of a beer barrel, which was found near a hut he used during his earlier attempt to reach the South Pole. Spates Dunedin, the company that supplied him with beer back in 1907, has reminded us that the explorer refused to head south without an ample supply of alcohol. Ironically, Shackleton could have done with even a tiny fraction of the funds being spent now on such ventures. Were he alive, he would be making a handy career for himself as a motivational speaker. Unfortunately, money was always a headache for him, and so my tribute is to his almost forgotten ship, which he hoped to make money from, called The Quest. Named by his wife Emily, the 34-metre-long steamship built in Norway was purchased by Shackleton to clear some debts. He had been commissioned for his fourth Antarctic expedition in 1921 to undertake a survey. The ship was so small that a new deckhouse was added in Southampton to provide cabin space for the captain and for his second-in-command, Frank Wild. It left London's St Catherine's docks on September the 17th of that year, and it broke down several times on its passage south. In January 1922, it burst at Grytviken in South Georgia, the whaling station which Shackleton and a very ragged and exhausted company had reached back in 1916. That was after the epic sea journey by the Boss and a small crew, including Kerryman Tom Crean and Corkman Tim McCarthy, to raise the alarm and save the Endurance crew some 800 miles away. Some say that Shackleton had a bit of a premonition when he took out his log in his tiny cabin in early January 1922. Fortune seems to attend us this new year, but so anxious have I been when things are going well, I wonder what in time difficulty will be sprung on me, he wrote. He found it difficult to settle down. He felt unwell and was examined by the expedition doctor, Alexander Macklin. He joked that Macklin had always wanted him to give things up. "Alcohol mainly," the doctor replied, "to silence." Shackleton's heart gave up and he was pronounced dead on January the 5th, 1922, and was buried in South Georgia. The Quest continued on its journey under the command of Frank Wild, but wasn't able to complete its original mission to explore the Antarctic coastline of Enderby Land. Its design didn't work well in ice, it gave engine trouble, and the broad-beamed tubby little ship, as it was called, was eventually returned to use as a seal hunting vessel. It eventually sank off the north coast of Labrador while seal hunting in 1962, and thankfully its crew was saved. However, during an early refit in 1924, its deckhouse had been removed and found its way to a farm in North Norway. The farm was run by shipyard owner Johan Draga. Draga thought it might be useful for storing equipment, and his children also decided it made a very fine playhouse. At one point, it was even used, unsuccessfully, for shelter by several Allied soldiers during the Second World War. In 2008, Corkman and Shackleton enthusiast Eugene Furlong was in a pub in the Lofoten Islands when he heard about the cabin. He tracked it down to the Draga property, now owned by the shipyard's great-grandson, Ulf Bakke. Bakke told him how he had often been asked to fetch something from the Shackleton, as the shed was known, and he was able to show Furlong the interior with original photos and fittings. Thanks to Furlong's efforts, Bakke's generosity, and the interest shown by the Athy Heritage Centre and Museum, which is a permanent exhibition to Shackleton, the cabin is now in Ireland and is awaiting full restoration by Sven Haberman in conservation letter frack. It was shipped here by Danish company DFDS and transported west several years ago. The aim is to incorporate it into what will become the Shackleton Museum when the Athy premises is redeveloped as part of a €3 million project. First, it has to be conserved. The North Norwegian climate had helped to keep the ship's cabin in a fairly good shape during all those years on the Draga farm. Sven Haberman has done much research to ensure the interior will be a mirror image of the original, and he's even tracked down the manufacturer of the wallpaper on the ceiling, which Shackleton would have gazed upon in his final hours. He also has a detailed description from crewman Scout Marr. When you were in, you felt half afraid to draw a full breath in case you carried something away or bust the bulkhead apart, Marr wrote. Shackleton's last sea bedroom, as it was known, on the good ship Quest was, as Marr said, little bigger than a packing case.
Lorna Siggins.